Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37 in your Bibles tonight. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight on fret-free living. Fret-free living. Does it bother you to see how much attention goes on in today's culture to the people who stand for all the wrong things? Does that not concern you? Does that not bother you? Well, it does me. Perhaps it's the entertainment industry and the movies and the headlines with immoral philosophies or in their music or in their movies or just on programs. Maybe it's the leaders who openly thumb their noses at right living standards. I know there's a lot of stuff out there on social media and people trying to relay truth to all the error that has gone out there. And if we're not careful, it's very easy for us to get real fretful about what is going on in our society and thinking, Lord, when are you going to come back? When are you going to take care of all this stuff and get us out of here? But until then, what do we got to do? We got to live here. We're supposed to be, remember, salt and light. Well, I believe David here, who is a writer of Psalm 37, kind of gives us a little bit of peek about what he's learned in life. In fact, I know I had you turn to Psalm 37, but I'd like for you to look in let me just quote it. I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed, what? Begging bread. That's in that chapter, okay? What's he saying? He's saying this, that I am older now and I have learned about some things that I really want to try to explain to the younger people. And I believe he's given us some steps here of some fretful living, how to live your life where you're not so enthralled with what's going on in the world that you can't keep your perspective where it needs to be. And where should that be? That should be on Christ. It should be on Jesus. So let's look at Psalm 37 and look at verse number 1 and let's look at this passage of Scripture. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Father, we pray that you just be with us and meet with us for just a few minutes tonight as we talk about some ways that, Lord, we can get fret-free living in our hearts tonight. It's very important because I know many of us here tonight are worrying about things and concerned about things. And Lord, you didn't tell us to do that. So, Lord, help us learn from your word tonight, and we'll give you glory, honor, and praise for it. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, in verse numbers 1 and 2, you'll notice that envy is condemned. Now, when we think of envy, the Bible tells us we shouldn't envy against others, but we need to think about this, that especially about envy is that we need to make sure we understand that the lost person is not the object of our envy. Why? Because they are of their father what? The devil, and that's what they're going to do. You know, to person to the lost, we need to remember that their heaven is really what they're living right now. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about hell. One day we're going to get to be in heaven, but the closest thing to heaven is what they have right now. Think about that. Now, here we're told not to worry when we see the wicked prosper. How are we supposed to deal with this problem? Well, I believe here in verses 3 through 8, David offers us an alternative to worry. Now, I know, and I've preached before and have the verse memorized in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, where it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God." We know that verse. Most of us have that memorized. And whenever we begin to worry about something, we automatically go to that verse because it really gives us a good outline of don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Is that right? And that's what brings us peace. Well, I believe here David is trying to offer us some alternatives to worry that we need to look at. And these are some simple steps that if followed will enable us to find what all of us are seeking for, and that is peace. Would you agree with that? Even during the most trying times of our lives. So I want us to notice a few steps to fret-free living. And I believe that every one of these steps not only have a command to them, but they also have a comfort to them that we're going to look at, all right? So let's look first in verse number 3, and notice what it says. It says, "Trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, if you're taking notes, this is really what it means. It means to control your walk. To control your walk. Now, the psalmist here gives us a twofold command in this verse. And the emphasis of this verse is for you and I as believers to live a life that is this. Listen to me. Pleasing to the Lord. Pleasing to the Lord. And when this is accomplished, when we live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, then what does God do? He shines on our lives and blesses us. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory all the time, but He does bless us. Don't you believe that? Amen. He blesses us far beyond what we deserve. Isn't that right? So let's look at some of these things. What are some of these? How do we control our walk? Or how do we control walking in the steps of our Lord? Well, first of all, it gives us the two words, trust God. Did you see that? Now, what does that really mean? Well, we know what it means to trust God. We all can probably give a good definition of what trusting God means. But if you look at that in the original Hebrew, it means this, to lie helplessly face down. To lie prostrate. That means your whole body on your belly with your head down, arms extended. All right? Now, when we think about that, what do we often think about? We often think of submission. That we are totally submitting our lives and our bodies and our hearts to who? To the Lord. Now, I think a lot of problems that we have in Christianity today is that we have a lot of Christians that have not totally surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, "Now, Brother Earl, wait just a minute. God's not called me to preach. God's not called me to the mission field. God's not called me to do this or do that or preach or pastor a church." But no, He has called you to be a Christian. He's called you to do whatever to give the Great Commission to wherever you go, whether it's a job or who you talk to, your neighbors. God has you in a position for that specific reason to be a witness for Him. And that is part of what is called trusting God. It pictures a servant waiting for the master's command in readiness to obey. And what is that? That's walking by faith and not by sight, isn't it? You know, Even when things look like they're going totally wrong in our lives, God is still working behind the scenes. Isn't that right? He did that with Joseph. He did that with a lot of different people in the Bible. And he tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for them, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And let me also remind you that we must learn to trust the Lord in all areas of our life. Now, there's some areas that we have no trouble trusting God in. But there's some areas that we really do have a lot of trouble trusting him in. You know, Matthew reminds us of Jesus that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39, that Jesus fell on his face and prayed. And what did he pray? Not my will, but thine. Is that really your prayer tonight? Is it really your prayer, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? We hear it all the time to the teenagers, oh, do God's will for life. But you know what? That still applies to us too, doesn't it? Not my will, but thine will, O Lord. There's got to be times when God's way is difficult to figure out, but we've got to do what God has called us to do. The Bible says without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. So the first thing we've got to do is to trust God. But there's also another command there. Did you get that? It says, and do good. And to do good. This is a command to holy living. God expects his people to live a life that is honoring to his name. And if God's people could ever learn that God is pleased when we live for him, we would see him bless us in great ways. You see, the formula for a successful Christian life is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that in all things that he, being Christ, might have preeminence. What does that mean? First place. We all like to, I don't know, but when I grew up, I wanted to win everything. I mean, I didn't want to come in second place. I wanted to win everything. And that's an idea that Jesus in our lives needs to be first place. The question is he really in first place tonight? Is Jesus really first place in your life? You see, the whole point here is this. If you'll walk with your faith in God and will live your life to please him, he will commit himself to taking care of you. That's what it says in Philippians 4:10. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What is your own need and what is my need tonight? Your need and my need is one thing, and it's Jesus Christ. That's our need. So we see here the comfort that Jesus is with us. Number two, we see we need to, in verse number four, condition our will. Look in verse number four. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? That means to take exquisite delight in the Lord. When life begins to go bad, we tend to focus on the problems than we do focusing on our God, don't we? Absolutely. When this happens, what do? We become defeated. We become depressed. We become down. We fall into sadness. However, at all times of life, we are challenged to let the Lord be the focus of our attention. And if we focus on who he is to us and what he has done for us, what happens? It changes our whole aspect of things. It changes our perspective. Why is it that some people, when they get a bad diagnosis, man, they're down, depressed, in the dumps, but yet another person may get another diagnosis, and what are they? Praise the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants. Whatever God's will is for, I'm going to continue praising him and loving him. It's all about your perspective, isn't it? It's really all about what's in your heart and how you think about it and how you respond. That's what it's talking about. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The way to have our heart's desire is to make God our heart's desire. I don't think you got that. Let me give you that again. The way to have our heart's desire is to make God our heart's desire. Amen? So delight in God and He will become your greatest delight. If God has our hearts, He can trust us with His blessings. Isn't that right? So we see that's the command of delight, but we also see a comfort. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Those who delight in God desire to ask nothing but what will please God." In other words, as we practice the presence of God, daily delighting in Him, in His Word, in prayerful communion with Him, gradually His Spirit transforms our heart. So our desires become His desires, and it is those desires that He will grant. What does Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 tell us? It tells us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What am I trying to say? What you delight in is how God's going to give you to what He delights in. You delight in Him. That's the purpose of what we do. Now listen, the end of this verse is a portion of that verse that we can claim as a promise. Looking back in verse number 4 again, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, those are not selfish desires that I'd love to have $1 million. Yeah, I'd like to have a new car. Yeah, I'd like to be able to go travel the world in this. Most of those desires are all about self, aren't they? But when we begin to delight in the Lord, and the Word of God begins to transform our heart, is what Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, then the desires that God has become our desires, and it really what? Transforms our mind. So condition your will. That means the choices that you make. I'm so glad you made a choice to be here tonight. That is a great choice. Many of you made a choice to read your Bible today and spend some time in prayer. Those are great choices. Those are important choices to continue to condition your will to do what God's will is. So we need to condition our will. Number 3, we need to commit our way. Look at verse number 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Verse 6, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Commit your way unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means to roll unto. The idea here is that we are to roll our burdens of life over to the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's hard. That's hard. Why? Because we actually think we can do something about them. Isn't that right? We really do. We really have the idea, I can do something about it. But no, what does the Lord tell us? That we need to commit our way to Him, to roll our burdens of life over to the Lord. Listen, the Lord has not asked His children to carry the burdens of life alone. What does He tell us to do? He tells us to give them to Him. Amen. To give them to Him. You know, in the middle of the storms of life, we need to learn the truth that we are not in those storms alone. Isn't that right? We are to commit our way to the Lord and trust Him to take care of us. And is that exactly what Job did? Absolutely. I mean, the Lord is there to go with us. "Casting all your care upon Him," Peter said, "for He" what? "Careth for us." And I'm going to tell you something, this will resolve our hearts this evening if we learn how to do that. Now, do you see that was a command? But do you also see the comfort in this? The whole emphasis here is that when we are walking in faith, placing our burdens on the Lord, what is it? He's going to take care of us. We may not like the way that we're called upon to tread, but in the end, the faith of the child of God will be vindicated. God's going to take care of you. There may be some rough roads that we have to trod through life, but God didn't tell us that our Christian life was going to be easy, did it? And that's why we've got to do what? Trust in the Lord. Amen. To wait upon Him. Yep. To do good. Have you ever thought about this, my friend? God is never hurried by our worry. God is never hurried when we're worried. He does not get excited when we struggle against the situation that we find ourselves in. But what is He looking for? He's looking for is faith. Jesus is looking for obedience. He's looking for yieldedness in the midst of the struggles of life. That's what he's wanting. And His promise to us is that our faith will never be in vain. Isn't that right? Number four, look in verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We need to consecrate your wait. Consecrate your wait. We're told in verse 7 to rest in the Lord and wait for Him. That word rest literally means this. It doesn't refer to physical rest. It refers to spiritual rest. And really, the word really means to, you ready? Silent. That's what it means, to be silent. Then we're told not to fret. That word means don't get heated. It carries the idea of getting ourselves worked up over a rage over the condition of the world and over the valleys that we walk through. And our duty during those difficult days of our lives is to be patient and silent while the Lord works out His purposes in our life. Now, that's not easy to do, is it? I don't like being silent. Some of you do. But sometimes I need to be silent. Because when I'm silent is when I'm able to hear from the Holy Spirit more than what I need. Than what I need. That's what I need. I need to listen. To rest. To rest in Him. To consecrate my wait. It's not easy, but this kind of attitude was modeled by who? It was modeled by Jesus. You remember when He was, in Isaiah 53, the Bible says that He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. What was it? He was silent. He has brought a lamb to the slaughter, sleep before His shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. I said that to say this, regardless of the burden that you and I are called to bear, learn not to whine. Don't murmur. Don't complain. We know what happened to the Israelites when they complained and murmured against Moses, isn't that right? That didn't work out too well for them, did it? And it won't work out well for us when we begin to complain about our circumstances and whine about it. Hey, take it to the Lord. By the way, He's the only one who can do something about it. Is that right? Bear it for the glory of God. Wait patiently for Him to work it out, His will. It isn't easy, but it's an attitude that God can bless and God can use it for His glory. Is that right? Amen. Number 5 and last, look at verse number 8. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, did you happen to notice something about all 5 of those things? The trust, the delight, the commit, the rest, the wait. Did you notice something that came after all of those statements? You should have, because it really is the key to the message. And what is it? Unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord. trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And that ought to tell us something. It's not about us, it's all about Him. Isn't that right? And we're commanded here in verse number 8 to refrain from anger. You know, it's really easy, folks, to get bitter at God, isn't it? I think probably all of us, if we've been in church long enough in our life, we've experienced some type of church hurt. All of us have, in some way or fashion. Some people leave church because of church hurt. Some people get mad or bitter at the pastor, or get mad or bitter at God for something. And what does the Bible tell us that we need to do? We need to cease from anger. I like to say this. We need to conquer our wrath. Conquer our wrath. When we see the wicked live their lives at ease while we walk through deep, dark valleys, there's a tendency sometimes to get angry at God. However, we got to be careful that we do not abandon righteousness for evil in the day of our affliction. I'm reminded that James chapter 1, verse number 20 tells us, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Can I encourage you tonight to do this? God's will for you and God's will for I is to stay the course. Stay the course. Even when the seas may get a little bit rough, and they will, just stay the course. Have a fret-free life. It is possible because God's Word says it's possible. God has given us a command, but He's also given us a comfort in His Word because He knows how difficult it is. And it's not us that does it, it's Christ living in us that does it. Our wrath almost always simply defends or promotes our own agenda. So the question I have for you now is, whose agenda are you running? Are you running your own agenda, or are you really trying to run God's agenda? Now, all this sounds difficult. It sounds like we're just to lay back and allow life to take us where it will. Well, I want you to look at one last verse in verse number 23. And notice what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of the Lord are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Do you not realize that every one of these steps that we've looked at tonight is a call to action? Trust, delight, commit, rest, seek. And God is calling us to take control of our lives to do what? To yield to Him. So the question out, are you really yielded to Him? I mean, have you really laid down prostrate on your face before God and said, "God, my life is yours. Whatever you would like for my life, I'm willing to do it." My answer is yes. My answer is yes. And let us determine tonight that we're going to seek the Lord's way through the valleys that we go through. And let's take these five precious steps to give us some peace and have a fretful life. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you worried about tonight? What are you worried about? Have you given it to the Lord? Have you given it to Jesus? Maybe tonight you're here, you're just empty. Maybe you've given and given and given and given, and you just need to be filled again. Well, the Lord wants to fill you. The Holy Spirit wants to give you power. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but it would help you just to take it before the Lord. Father, I pray tonight you'd use this. Lord, help us just remember that we are to live a fretless life. We're not supposed to get all up about things that are going on in the world and in our society and maybe what's going on in the church. We can get so focused on the minors that we forget what the majors is all about. That's just keeping our eyes on you. So Lord, I pray you'll speak to people's hearts tonight. Maybe there are some people that are worried about some things. They just need to give it to you. They use the time here at the altar tonight just to turn it over to you. Thank you that you're able to bear them for us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.